Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, April 5th, 2018. We'll start with a story that's titled Alzheimer's Conference to Help Caregivers, Public Invited to Day-Long Event. This is written by Mary Wyckoff in Danville. For those caring for people with Alzheimer's, it's a long road and many need help to stay on course. A day-long conference for caregivers will share tools and resources to make the journey a bit easier. The Ileana Alzheimer's Alliance, in partnership with the OSF Healthcare Foundation, is hosting a conference on Wednesday, April 18th at the Beef House Banquet Center near Covington, Indiana. The conference begins at 8 a.m. Illinois time and includes breakfast and lunch. Registration starts at 7:30 a.m. Cost is $30 for caregivers, CNAs, students, clergy, and the public, and $90 for professionals, which includes 7 hours continuing education units. This disease doesn't pick certain people. There's nothing you can do to prevent it, and as of yet, you don't have anything to make it better, said Nancy McMahon, co-chairman with the Ileana Alzheimer's Alliance. We must prepare ourselves to fight the fight. Alzheimer's is a progressive disease that gradually destroys a person's memory and ability to learn, reason, make decisions, and communicate. The number of Americans with Alzheimer's has more than doubled since 1980 to more than 4.5 million. Conference topics include the latest developments in Alzheimer's research and practice, navigating the system for help and support, cognitive simulation to enhance function in persons with Alzheimer's, information on driving reduction cessation for older adults, and elder law and legal considerations for persons with Alzheimer's disease, their families, members, and significant others. The conference will feature presenters who will share their special knowledge and perspective on Alzheimer's and disease, including Linda Brown, RN, BSN, and MAG, manager and home and owner of Family Care Management, Janet Grove, J.D., Armstrong & Grove, LLC, Annie C. Harmon, Ph.D., Internal Medicine and Geriatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, Daniel Lano, M.D., Ph.D., Neurologist at Carle Foundation Hospital, a representative from My Memory Works, Max Zubaski, Ph.D., LMFT, Assistant Professor in the Medical Family Therapy Program at St. Louis University, Angie Lazelle, annual fundraiser coordinator with the OSF Healthcare Foundation, said the conference is worthwhile in that there will be handouts, a chance to network with others, and speakers with diverse expertise who will address issues such as when should a senior stop driving and how to handle estate planning. Anyone with a family member who has dementia or Alzheimer's would benefit, she said. That includes nursing home administrators, social workers, clergy, physical therapists, nurses, and others. McMahon said caregivers will learn they're not alone and that others are facing the same challenges. Alzheimer's can be an isolating disease for both patients and caregivers, and often friends don't know how to respond. Having the conference at the Beef House should be convenient for people in rural areas, she said. We want them to understand they're not alone, she said. The conference will give them tools and sites to understand they can do the job. She added, it's a long road, but they have to be diligent and keep going. McMahon of Dana, Indiana, and formerly of Covington, was a caregiver for her husband for 24 years. He was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at the age of 51. We had no idea when we started how the journey would affect the entire family, she said. While the conference is open to the public and professionals, McMahon said she thinks it would be good for pastors and ministers. The conference will help shed light on how to help families struggling with the disease, she said. This is the seventh conference, which is presented every 2 years. It usually attracts 150 to 200 people. Proceeds from basket bingo which will be September 20th, fund the conference. The Ileana Alzheimer's Alliance is an outreach of OSF Foundation. Continuing education credits, 7 hours, will be provided through the Department of Family Medicine, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, in cooperation with the Continuing Education Institute of Illinois. FYI, for more information or to register, call the OSF Healthcare Foundation at 442-6583. People should register soon as seating is limited. Space for vendors to share information is still available. Okay, the next story is titled Big Brothers, Big Sisters to Rock and Roll, and this is written by Carol Roem in Danville. Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Vermilion County is gearing up for its most important fundraiser of the year, Bowl for Kids' Sake. Danville area businesses, organizations, mentors, and community members are encouraged to form teams of bowlers to participate in this year's event on April 13th and 14th at Lincoln Lanes at 107 West Harrison Street in Danville. We are still here and we're still serving the children of Vermilion County, Board President Mark Rose said. Each bowler is asked to collect a minimum of $100 in pledges that will benefit Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Vermilion County to support mentoring relationships that have a positive, long-lasting impact on children in the community. The theme of this year's event is Rock and Bowl, which will take participants back to the 1980s with several hour-long bowling times set for the evening of Friday, April 13th, and during the day Saturday, April 14th at Lincoln Lanes. They can sign up and bowl for an hour or longer if they would like, Rose said. Most of all, the event is supposed to be fun, and bowlers are encouraged to dress up according to the theme. They're supposed to dress like the 80s. I need to find my bell bottoms, he joked. Not only will participants be able to bowl two games for free, including free shoe rental, but each bowler who raises $100 in donations will receive a free Bowl for Kids' Sake t-shirt and free pizza and beverages, plus a chance to win door prizes and silent auction items, including gift baskets, Rose said. They will be different themes again, he said, of the gift baskets that will include items donated by local businesses. For every additional $100 raised by a bowler, he or she will earn a ticket for a drawing to win a private party with food and drinks for 10 friends or a $250 Visa gift card, Rose said. Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Vermilion County's fundraising goal is $50,000, which will help the organization support mentoring relationships between adults and children who are facing adversity in the community. The organization serves more than 100 low-income and underprivileged youth between the ages of 5 and 18 in Vermilion County. Big Brothers, Big Sisters provides two different types of mentoring for children, through community-based mentoring in which the mentor and the child meet outside of school hours, or school-based mentoring in which the mentor visits the child weekly during the school day. Get involved. Individuals or groups interested in forming a bowling team for Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Vermilion County's Bowl for Kids' Sake may call the Danville office at 446-6601, Board President Mark Rose at 918-0535, or go to bfksil2018.kintera.org to register their team. Okay, the next story is titled 2017 Vermilion County Final Multiplier Announced. This is written by Jennifer Bailey in Springfield. Vermilion County has been issued a final property assessment equalization factor of 1.0000, according to Illinois Department of Revenue Director Constance Beard. The property assessment equalization factor, often called the multiplier, is the method used to achieve uniform property assessments among counties as required by law. This equalization is particularly important because some of the state's 6,600 local taxing districts overlap into two or more counties, like school districts, junior college districts, fire protection districts. If there were no equalization among counties, substantial inequities among taxpayers with comparable properties would result. Under a law passed in 1975, property in Illinois should be assessed at one-third of its market value. Farm property is assessed differently, with farm home sites and dwellings subject to regular assessing and equalization procedures, but with farmland assessed at one-third of its agriculture economic value. Farmland is not subject to the state equalization factor. Assessments in Vermilion County are 33.28% of market value based on sales of properties in 2014, 15, and 16. The equalization factor currently being assessed is for 2017 taxes payable in 2018. Last year's equalization factor for the county was 1.0000. The final assessment equalization factor was issued after a public hearing on the tentative factor. The tentative factor issued in December 2017 was 1.0000. The equalization factor is determined annually for each county by comparing the price of individual properties sold over the past 3 years to the assessed value placed on those properties by the county supervisor of assessments or the county assessor. If this 3-year average level of assessment is 1/3 of the market value, the equalization factor will be 1. If the average level of assessment is greater than 1/3 of the market value, the equalization factor will be less than 1. And if the average level of assessment is less than 1/3 of market value, the equalization factor will be greater than 1. A change in the equalization factor does not mean total property tax bills will increase or decrease. Tax bills are determined by local taxing bodies when they request money each year to provide services to local citizens. If the amount requested by local taxing districts is not greater than the amount received in the previous year, then total property taxes will not increase, even if assessments increase. The assessed value of an individual property determines what portion of the tax burden a specific taxpayer will assume. The individual's portion of tax responsibility is not changed by the multiplier. Okay, now we'll run through the obituaries. William Billy Keller Jr., 54, of Catlin, passed away at his home December 26, 2017, after battling liver disease. Cremation rites were accorded and burial was in Sunset Cemetery in Danville next to his wife, Lisa. A memorial service to celebrate his life will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, April 7th at the Catlin United Methodist Church in Catlin. Patty Weiss will be officiating. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. till service time at the church. Joe H. Burgoyne, 85, of Covington, Indiana, passed away at 9:55 p.m. Monday, April 2nd, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of Joe's life will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, April 6th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion in Danville. A visitation will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, April 5th, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest at Springfield Cemetery in Danville. Memorial donations may be given in Joe's name to the charity of the donor's choice. H. Melvin Mel Stevens, 82, of Tilton, passed away at 10:50 a.m. on Monday, April 2nd, at the Danville VA Medical Center. Graveside rites at 10 a.m. Monday at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin. Ed Ross officiating. Catlin American Legion will provide military honors. Visitation is from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday at Robeson Chapel in Catlin. Memorials to the Catlin Historical Society. Jesse A. Thomas, 87, passed away Sunday, April 1st, at home. A celebration of life service will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, April 6th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Ramey Gordon. Visitation will be held prior to the service from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the funeral home. Burial will be in Springfield Cemetery in Danville at a later date. Jewel M. J.M. Lowe, 79, of Danville, passed away at 3:25 a.m. on Saturday, March 31st, at Garden View Manor Nursing Home. Per her wishes, he will be cremated. There will be a memorial visitation from noon to 1 p.m. on Friday, April 6th, at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville, with memorial service to follow at 1 p.m. Friday, April 6th, at Pape Funeral Home. Dorothy Eloise Seymour Cannon Dabley, 100, of Oakwood, passed away at 3:45 a.m. Sunday, April 1st, at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. A celebration of Dorothy's life will be held at 7 p.m. on Friday, April 6th, at Sunset's Oakwood Chapel at 105 East South Main Street in Oakwood, with Pastor Patty Weiss officiating. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, April 6th, at the funeral home. Graveside services will be at 10 a.m. on Saturday, April 7th, at Stearns Cemetery in Fithian. Memorial donations may be given in her name to Oakwood United Methodist Church. Brittany Suzanne Eleanor Ure passed away on March 30th, 2018. A memorial service will commence at 1 p.m. on Saturday, April 7th at 21st Century Worship Center at 533 East Main, officiating Pastor George Dow, Leek and Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams, is in charge of the arrangement. Edith Elizabeth Purvis, 98 of Danville, formerly of Pleasant Hill, Missouri, passed away on March 20th, 2018 in Danville at Hawthorne Retirement Home where she had lived for the past few years. Funeral services will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, April 7th at the funeral home. Mr. Will Purvis will officiate. Interment will follow in the Pleasant Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be at 9:30 a.m. until service time at the funeral home. Memorial contributions are suggested to the Missouri Baptist Children's Home and may be sent in care of the funeral home. And Herbert S. Lindahl, 94, passed away Saturday, March 24th at his home in Danville. Funeral services will be at noon on Saturday, April 7th at Mason White Funeral Home in Washington, Illinois. Pastor Dan Daring officiating. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to his service, also at the funeral home. Burial will follow at Glendale Cemetery in Washington. Memorials for Mr. Lindahl may be directed to Hope Lutheran Church, P.O. Box 67, Vance, South Carolina, 29163, or to the Pacific Battleship Center, USS Iowa, BB-61, 2505 Harbor Boulevard, Berth 87, Los Angeles, California, 90731. Okay, the next story is titled, Man Gets 6 Years for Aggravated Domestic Violence. In Danville, a 45-year-old man was sentenced to 6 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections regarding a domestic violence case on Monday, according to the state's attorney, Jacqueline Lacey. After first assistant state's attorney Stephanie Weber introduced aggravation through a testimony from Danville police officer Josh Eddington, Judge Fahey announced the 6-year sentence. In February, Troy Vance pled guilty to aggravated domestic battery, a Class 2 felony. The sentence must be served at 85% and 4 years mandatory supervised release. Next, house fire injures firefighter, kills pets. And this is written by Brianna Kirkham in Danville. A house fire in the 400 block of Commercial Street resulted in one injured Danville firefighter and the death of several household dogs, according to Danville Fire Lieutenant Tom Darby. When firefighters arrived on the scene around 10:27 p.m. on Tuesday, a male occupant of the resident was already outside. The man did not report any injuries. Heavy fire and smoke could be seen coming from the single-story house. A total of 16 firefighters and 7 units were on scene helping to extinguish the fire. The last unit left at 2:06 a.m. on Wednesday. Total damage was estimated at about $26,500. The cause of the fire remains under investigation, and no other information was released. Okay, the next story says Bailey Academy seeks to honor veterans, and this is written by Carol Roem in Danville. Kenneth D. Bailey Academy plans to honor at least one or possibly more Vermilion County veterans in May who have a decorated military career and a record of solid community service. This is the 5th year the Academy will accept nominations of veterans who not only served the country, but had an influence in Vermilion County and on the lives of all the residents. Anyone who was active military and volunteers in the community may be nominated for the honor. The inductees will be dedicated on the Wall of Honor at the school on East Main Street. The Wall of Honor is located opposite the Kenneth D. Bailey mural, which recognizes the military valor and honor of Major Kenneth D. Bailey, bestowed upon him during his service to the country. Principal Tracy Cherry originally hatched the idea for a Wall of Honor. The school recognized 2 individuals last year and may recognize more than 1 individual this year. It's part of our mission and our vision, Cherry said, of the Academy honoring local veterans. It's a way to support people in our community who have given back. We usually try to honor 1 to 3 veterans each year, she said. The dedication is open to both men and women from all branches of the service that served proudly and continued to serve as civilians. A committee of 4 community members and 3 Bailey Academy staff members will review this year's nomination applications. The committee enjoys the process every year, Cherry said. We've always had a decent number of applications. The committee also goes back and considers the nomination applications from previous years as well. As for the nomination criteria, Cherry said, they need to be a Vermilion County veteran and a positive contributor to the local community. The applications are available at several locations as well as on the Kenneth D. Bailey Academy website. Veterans who are selected will be honored the morning of Thursday, May 10th by the students during an all-school assembly at Bailey Academy. The veterans' names will also be mentioned during the Salute to the Veterans concert that evening at Danville High School. It's important for us to recognize people in our community while they are still with us because sometimes they don't get recognized until after it's too late, Cherry said. Each honoree will have a plaque with his or her photo and information along the side of it hung on the wall of honor inside the school. That way, future generations will understand the pride and respect the county feels for its heroes. The honored veteran also will receive a smaller version of the plaque to take home. The local veterans depicted on the wall of honor have become an inspiration for the students. They see the veterans' pictures and their stories on the wall as they pass by, and they know it's something they can aspire to in their life also, Cherry said. Applications to nominate a local veteran are available at the Kenneth D. Bailey Academy main office at 502 East Main Street, District 118's David Fields Administration Service, Vermilion County War Museum, Vermilion County Museum, the American Legion Post 210, Elks Lodge 147, Danville Post Office, Danville Public Library, Newhoff Broadcasting, and the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System. The nomination form also is available in the Academy's website at kdba.danville118.org/wall of honor. Applicants will need to provide a letter of support for his or her nominee that reflects military and community success, detailed information of military experience, and local community accomplishments, and supply 2 references that can verify the information on the application. The deadline to apply is Wednesday, April 18th. Okay, the next story is titled A Place to Play. Oakwood Man seeks help with new park, and this is written by Carol Roem in Oakwood, and there's a picture of Farrell Stroh looks out across a muddy lot in the middle of the Lake Bluff Mobile Home Park and visualizes what it would become. Farrell Stroh looks out across a muddy lot in the middle of the Lake Bluff Mobile Home Park and visualizes what it could become. Stroh, a village trustee and Lee Street resident, dreams of creating a park for children between the ages of 3 and 12 living in the neighborhood that cannot safely reach Oakwood's main village park without crossing busy U.S. Route 150. The older kids have portable basketball hoops 4 at a time set up and down Lee Street, he said, but Lee Street is a busy street. I want to get them off the streets and give them a place to play, said Stroh, who also started a neighborhood crime watch in the area. In addition, Stroh hopes to honor local veterans by naming the new park, located along Barbara Street on land the village owns, Veterans Park. I wanted the veterans to be honored, Stroh said. I didn't want it to be named after anyone. The village already has cleared the 2 lots in the mobile home park for the development of the new park. We've cut down trees and ground up stumps, tore down a garbage and broke up some old driveways, Stroh said. Oakwood Mayor Clay Woodard said the mobile home park is undergoing a transition right now, and a park for the children who live there would be a welcomed addition. We've been doing a lot of work there and addressing ordinance violations, Woodard said. There are different owners there now, and they're going to put in a new concrete pads and sell some new mobile homes there and become a dealership. The new park, which will be funded by the village of contributions from local businesses and community members, would include a basketball court, swing set, slide, merry-go-round, handicapped accessible busy bee ride, picnic tables, lighting, and a flagpole. Some of the items already have been acquired, such as the basketball hoop that was donated and a merry-go-round and slide that will be refurbished and reused from the existing village park. Ameren is helping with the lighting for the park, and we're going to do a lot of work ourselves, like the landscaping, Stroh said. Still, Stroh said, several thousand dollars needs to be raised to purchase playground equipment and to pour the concrete for the basketball court. We're applying for a grant through Walmart for the playground equipment, but he's still trying to get some donations, Woodard said of Stroh. I told Farrell to run with his park. My job is to be steward of the people's money, so we'd like to have the community contribute to this as well, Stroh said. Stroh plans to present a budget for the park project at the April Village Board meeting. The village has been 100% supportive, and I visited all the businesses, he said. We'd like to put the playground in this summer, Stroh said. We're putting in the park no matter what. The bottom line is to get the kids off the street and give them a safe place to play, he said. After the initial park is established, Stroh has a few more plans for the park in the future. We have an area where we'd like to add some more playground equipment, and we'd like to put up a chain link fence that can be locked, he said. To donate, individuals who would like to donate to the creation of Veterans Park on Barber Street may do so by sending or dropping off a check made out to the Village of Oakwood at the Oakwood Village Hall at 106 South Scott Street, Oakwood, Illinois, 61858. Well, I still have a couple minutes here, so I'll go through the community briefs here. In Danville, church sells fish. Antioch Missionary Baptist Church will sell catfish fillet dinners starting at 11 a.m. on Friday until sold out at the church. Price is $8. Menu includes fish, spaghetti, slaw, bread, and dessert. Ellie's band to play. The Mike Ellis band will play from 7 to 9 p.m. on Friday at the Gallo Grotto. No cover charge. Food will be served from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. In Catlin, Legion sets events. Breakfast will be served from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturday at the Catlin American Legion. From noon to 5 p.m., there will be a dirt track racing car preview. Sloppy Joes and chips will be served. Cost is $4, excluding drinks. And in Oakwood District meeting, the Oakwood Fire Protection District has moved a meeting for next week to 6:30 p.m. Friday at the fire station. Regular meetings after next week will be at 6:30 p.m. the second Wednesday of the month at the fire station. And in Tilton, one lane on I-74. The Illinois Department of Transportation said traffic on westbound Interstate 74 between Tilton and Oakwood will be restricted to one lane beginning Monday. Crews will be repairing the bridge over the Salt Fork Vermilion River. Work is expected to be completed by Thursday, April 12th, weather permitting. Delays are likely, so motorists should consider alternate routes. And in Westville, patrons honored. As part of National Library Week, April 8th through the 14th, the Westville Public Library will have Patron Appreciation Day on Tuesday, April 10th. Enjoy cake and punch while filling out a short survey on library services. The library also is conducting a new member drive. Residents in Westville and Tilton are encouraged to come in and see if they qualify for a free library card. Bring a photo ID along with two pieces of mail or other identification that shows your current address. The library is located at 233 South State Street, and the phone number is 267-3170. And a few local meetings today. The Lions Club is at noon at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street in Danville. Alcoholics Anonymous at 6:30 p.m. at Aces Building at 119 North Vermilion Street. And Kickapoo Carvers from 7 to 9 p.m. at Danville Public Library at 319 North Vermilion Street. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, April 5th, 2018. Hope you all have a great week. Hopefully it warms up. I don't think it's going to, but hopefully it will eventually here. It'll be spring. Anyway, I enjoyed this morning because it was so light out. Anyway, have a great week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Thanks. Bye.